I'm Shanae Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Today I'm speaking with Steven Ranigan, a two-time six-figure High Stakes Fantasy Football Award winner, and he's gunning for another one with a team in the top 70 in the 2020 Football Guys Players Championship. His total career winnings are well over $400,000. In this episode, we talk about the Lions receiving core without Kenny Golladay, the suddenly deep Colts backfield, and much more. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Now, without further ado, here is $400,000 high stakes fantasy football winner, Steven Ranigan. Joining me on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown this week is a former, now that I think about it, two-time national champion with the Fantasy Championship, the NFFC Primetime. It's Steven Ranigan, by the way. And Steven, you have a pair of six-figure prizes under your belt, right?
I do. Yeah. And then I know we had talked last year, kind of took home that playoff challenge there. So that was, that was fun. And, So I've had, some success the past couple of years. So, it's been good, and I'm trying to just, kind of keep improving on what I'm doing and what I'm learning and how I'm doing it and things like that. So it's been great. It's fun.
You know, we have, by the way, fourth place in the FFPC playoff challenge last year. So congratulations to you on that.
You got some threats here in the Football Guys Players Championship, one specifically that we'll get into a little bit today. But as we head into to week nine, 61st overall out of, you know, nearly 11,000 teams this year. And obviously managing fantasy football this year with the threat of COVID-19 has obviously been different. How has it affected the way that you drafted, the way that you've managed your rosters over the first 8-plus weeks of the season?
Yeah, I got to say, I got to be pretty straightforward. I think I didn't really – I probably drafted a little bit differently, but not, you know, that much different, just not knowing how everything was going to go with COVID and all that. I think managing in season has been – oh, man, it's been extremely trying. Just, you know, I had one week, I think it was the first week, where there was some cancellations. I had a tee time. I was out golfing, and I was like – you know, I had to pull over and, like – make changes to, you know, it's probably the first time I've ever had to do that, just because it was so, like, there was so many moving parts. So it was really just like, you know, I really had to like think quick, and, you know, I got to everything and, you know, was able to change everything, but it was just so, you know, because they were changing bye weeks around, and, you know, when you draft, you plan for, you know, okay, hey, you know, I need to have, you know, available players in different spots. And, oh, it's been trying in that way. And what's really funny is I was talking to somebody the other day, and it really hasn't been the COVID issues yet. It's been more the injuries caused by COVID. So I've got hit pretty hard by a lot of injuries, and, you know, I understand that's just part of the game. So, you know, I'm not really complaining about it, but it was just, I've probably grinded more this year than in any year by far. Like, you know, I probably couldn't do it justice, you know, by talking about it, but it's been quite a test.
Yeah, and it's been affecting everybody, you know, myself included, a ton of other high-stakes fantasy owners just trying. I just look at the scores every week, you know, and I think about, you know, some people are still putting up 200-point monsters here and there, but the scores just are so down because you're just trying to get warm bodies in your lineup that you can count on. You know, some of these guys that are game-time decisions on Sunday night or Monday night, then obviously is there going to be a game on Tuesday? You know, we've had to deal with that a couple of times this year too. So it's been crazy, man. And you're handling it with aplomb. And one of the things that's made it so, I don't want to say easy for you, but on this team that's 61st overall, Russell Wilson, your quarterback, and you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett as two of your receivers, two receivers on the same team that are both pretty close to being in the top five, at least for per game averages, for receivers. Yep. This year. So that stack, Steven, is that a strategy that you sometimes try to do when you're drafting multiple, you know, whether it be main event or football guys teams, or did it just happen that way in this draft?
Yeah. You know, I think it was more just, you know, I think I had kind of gone through that draft and, you know, sort of, you know, had some pieces to the Seattle offense, and then basically just thought, hey, you know, if some of these pieces are available, you know, I can sort of add to that. I do that sometimes, but it's not, you know, it's not something that I'll do all the time. But I think I remember with that draft, I think I was waiting for one of the receivers to fall, and they weren't really falling that far. And I do remember that the last receiver I took was really falling quite a bit. So, you know, that was nice about that draft. What's funny is I remember doing that draft. It's interesting. Some of them you remember and some of them you don't. But, you know, I really remember doing that.
Yeah, it was. I'm just looking at the draft board right now. You actually went running back from the 12 spot in that draft with Mixon and then Aaron Jones. And then you did go four straight receivers. And Metcalf and Lockett were your third and fourth. You took Ridley and Adam Thielen before him. And then you get Metcalf and Lockett, Hayden Hurst, Russell Wilson, and then a slew of running backs after that, including Boston Scott, who's had a couple of pretty good weeks in place of Miles Sanders so far. So specifically with this team, you already have Russell Wilson. You're essentially playing him every week. I'm curious why you have not only Ryan Tannehill as well, but Tua Tagovailoa on this team as well, where you have three really good quarterbacks, or, you know, at least high upside quarterbacks, along with an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I think more, you know, I think it's probably a little bit of a psychological effect from this year, just what's happened at so many other positions. I just, you know, I really like the talent, you know, of Tua. And I suppose just being worried about injuries, you just, you know, I feel like when I get a team up close, I don't really want to sort of leave myself, you know, at risk of not having, you know, some sort of upside, I guess you'd call it. So, I mean, it could pay off, you know, it could really be like a useless move. But I don't mind doing that, you know, holding extra at a certain position based on just my history of, you know, what I feel like about a certain player, I guess. And it's, you know, I think probably if, I think if Russell Wilson went down, that whole team would probably be shot anyway. But, yeah, you know, much like the Dak Prescott thing, you know. So it's, you know, I think that's one thing for players to probably keep aware of. Sometimes you, you know, with these stacks, you know, you just tend to think, okay, well, you know, I got the Dallas offense. They look unbelievable. I'm just going to draft, you know, stacks everywhere. And then all of a sudden Prescott goes down. And not only is Prescott useless, but now every player in the stack is useless. So it's it can really be disastrous.
Yeah, it's incredible seeing how, you know, because we looked at the top of the leaderboard the first 3-4 weeks of the season, and all these Cowboy stacks were all at the top of the leaderboard because of the Prescott factor. And it's just really crazy how Prescott gets hurt. Now you're on your third string quarterback there. But even when you're on your backup, I mean, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, these guys are all hit and miss. Ezekiel Elliott's had a lot of bad weeks now too. So you're right. When, you know, that's the dangers of doing that, no question. I mentioned Hayden Hurst already. You also have Logan Thomas on this squad as your backup tight end, Steven. How close do you think the fantasy production gap is going to be going forward between these two guys, Hurst and Thomas? Are they actually a lot closer than people might give them credit for?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you could see Thomas, you know, maybe end up as like a, just because of the, you know, the lack of, I won't say talent, just the lack of production at the position. I think you could see Thomas kind of being a, like a back end, you know, tight end one, maybe a top, you know, tight end two. You know, I think with the injuries to, you know, Ridley recently, and I think with Jones, you can't really expect him to, you know, play, you know, anything more than 12 or 13 games. So, you know, I think, you know, it's like, you know, you'll have some of those pockets in the season where somebody like Hurst can work out, right? So I think two of those guys, I think it's like a good sort of, like a nice mix to have two of those guys like that who are solid but not like great. But, you know, having two of them there like that I think is nice. I think sometimes if you have, you know, like some people saw this week with Kittle going down, you have Kittle and you think, oh, well, you know, I really only need like a, you know, Firkser or something because I have Kittle. I think that can be dangerous sometimes, you know.
No, it can be. And to your point, Logan Thomas is averaging in FFPC tight end premium scoring double digits right now, too. And certainly that could go up as the year goes on. We shall see how Washington divvies up those targets in their passing game. News out of Detroit this week, Kenny Golladay expected to miss this week. Could be more or could be one more week, could be multiple weeks. We don't know yet. So just looking at this from, and we're recording this on Tuesday prior to the NFL trade deadline, but if Detroit does not trade Marvin Jones, Steven, does he make for a good start now going forward? And second part of this question, are there any other Lions receivers that you're looking at picking up that are free agents in FFPC leagues right now?
Yeah, I think that offense could be, you know, quite fruitful if you just kind of hit on the right one, really. I think, you know, I think it did look like Golladay was going to miss a ton of time. So I think, you know, probably temper your, you know, expectations and enthusiasm a little bit. But, you know, I definitely think there's, you know, like guys like Hall and, you know, I feel like Amendola sometimes can, you know, as long as he's healthy, he can, you know, kind of have, you know, big games. I'm not even sure if he's healthy. You know, he seems to just, you know, come in and out of the lineup quite a bit. You know, and then you have, you know, some of the rookies there, you know, who are decent. It's just that, you know, that you know, management group and that team, they just seem like they can't, you know, sort of get an identity this year. And I think when you have that, it's tough to sort of like bank on sort of, you know, what their philosophy is going to be and then sort of, you know, base your decision based on that. But I think there could definitely be, you know, something there. It's just, you know, kind of a, you know, kind of like, you know, throwing, you know, pieces of paper in a hat maybe.
Yeah, no, you're right. And yep. And they just worked out on Mohamed Sanu too. So that's okay. Another guy that could come into the equation. But you're right. If Galladay doesn't miss a whole lot of time, then expectations need to be tempered there for sure. Nyheim Hines was awesome on Sunday. You know, two touches turned into two electric touchdowns and electric touchdown dances too. Jordan Wilkins also had a really good game, 20 carries, 89 yards. Now, after the game, Frank Reich said that Jonathan Taylor has a little bit of an ankle injury. I don't know what to make of that, quite frankly. I don't know if a little bit means, yeah, it's actually pretty significant, or if it was just something that's not a big deal and he'll be ready to go. But seeing what we did on Sunday, Stephen, with Wilkins and Hines looking pretty good, does that make you reevaluate starting Jonathan Taylor going forward, knowing that these two guys behind him look pretty capable?
Yeah, I mean, I was never really high on Taylor. I mean, I have some of it just based on, you know, that whole like FOMO concept, right? You know, it's right. Just afraid. Yep. You know, it was just, there was so much hype and, you know, similar to CEH, like I really didn't have much of CEH until the end. And I probably got a little sort of, you know, hey, I don't have any of this. I really need to, you know, sort of adjust a little bit, which, you know, I honestly wish I didn't. And I wish I didn't with Taylor. I mean, like I said, I don't have many, but just with the Taylor thing, I felt like that was a crowded backfield anyway. And the offense under Rivers is, you know, if you look at Rivers' history, it's, you know, it's been the same where, you know, you could get the tight end three, you know, like, you know, Virgil Green back in the day, or, you know, their third string running back or something gets, you know, 60 yards passing. You're like, I didn't even know he was on the roster, you know, but he just, you know, he just like, you know, really diversifies the offense so much that, you know, you just kind of, you know, it's like, you know, you just really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they had a good line and everything, but I guess the hype was just way too much on him just, you know, through listening to various, you know, like news outlets and things like that. I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't crazy over him. So I think that could definitely be something, you know, something there, you know, especially with the line and everything. And, you know, Rivers has been known to kind of bring his teams back later in the year as well. So.
Anthony Miller, speaking of guys that got hyped up, myself included, I loved Anthony Miller coming into the year. In fact, I drafted him as like my number five receiver in not in a ton of spots, but in a significant amount of spots this year. He really disappointed. And then he comes back out of nowhere this week, 8 catches for 73 yards against the Saints. He was actually dropped in a significant amount of leagues. Is this enough for you to bid some pretty serious bucks on the waiver wire to get him on your roster?
Yeah, I love the talent. Like you said, I've been in on him prior years, like heavy. And I love the talent. I'm just not sure sometimes what they're doing. And it kind of talks to some of the other teams. Some of these teams, I see the way they distribute the ball and, you know, avoid like really talented players. And, you know, and again, it might just be, you know, it might be a gap in my understanding kind of, okay, well, hey, you know, he's on, you know, an up-and-coming cornerback, or it's just not part of their offensive scheme. Or, you know, I think some of these teams, they have these players with so much talent. I mean, that guy could be – I mean, he could be a top 20 wide receiver if he was in the right system. You know, he's just got so much talent, and, you know, I've kind of, you know, followed him a little bit. It seems like he's got a ton of heart, and, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, to sum that up, I think you were right in your logic, and, you know, in taking him, and I – you know, I have some of it, but I, you know, it passed on from some, but it's just, I think he's a great talent, you know?
I do too. And I usually, and I don't know if, you know, opportunity is probably the biggest thing I look for on the waiver wire, but obviously talents, you know, that's probably the second thing that's big, because if a guy demonstrates his ability to play, well, then he's worth adding. You know, Travis Fulgham too. You look at a guy like him a few weeks ago that a lot of people were kind of like, he's probably just a one-off, you know. Rager gets healthy, Jeffrey gets healthy, DeSean Jackson gets healthy, he's going to be nothing. Well, you know, Rager's back, and Fulgham still had another great performance. Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, they don't look anywhere close to, you know, coming back. And when you have opportunity meeting talent like that, it makes a lot of sense. And certainly Miller as a talent maybe just needs the opportunity. I don't know if he'll ever get number one targets, because of the presence of Allen Robinson, but he didn't need him against New Orleans to come up with a 15-point day. So certainly something that we'll be looking for on the FFPC waiver wire this week to see how those bids shake out. Moving west to Los Angeles, Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, and now Troymaine Pope is avoiding starting a Chargers running back the best way to go for high stakes owners going forward, knowing that, you know, you're just never going to know who the guy is until Austin Eckler comes back? Or, Steven, do all these guys represent a decent flex play, you know, especially with the bye week gauntlet upon us?
Yeah, I mean, I think their offense looks pretty good. So, I mean, I think it's, I think all those, you know, could be possibilities. You know, I think the Joshua Kelly, you know, looks like, you know, he looks like a good runner. Probably still needs to learn. He's probably still a little raw, you know, from what I see. But Jackson's always looked good to me. And I just, you know, same type of thing. It's just, you know, he had spots last year where he was running the ball well. And, you know, you look and they string together eight runs and then they, you know, miss a block or they do something that, you know, a lot of other running backs do. And then all of a sudden they're gone for a quarter. You're like, you know, what happened? You know, it's kind of like Ronald Jones a little bit. I'm not crazy over Ronald Jones, but, you know, you see some of the stuff like recently where Brady will throw a pass and it's not exactly the best pass. And, you know, I know Jones isn't, you know, the most prolific pass catcher, but, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, the coaching staff is, you know, dinging him and he's done. He's done for quarters at a time. And you can see the offense moving better with some of these guys. And I don't know if it's just, like I said, if there's other information we're not privy to, but just watching on a TV, you're like, God, like this offense is moving. It's not moving prolifically, but it's moving. And then they bring in the guy who they like, and it's just, it looks horrible for three series. And then they go back to it and then they score. And they're like, you know, I'm like, okay, well, everyone saw that. So, yeah. So that's definitely a crowded backfield. So that should be interesting. I was hoping Eckler could get back, but God, that would look like a serious injury.
Yeah, it was bad. And certainly, you know, we haven't even heard, quite frankly, whispers of him, you know, returning to practice yet. So it may be a while yet with Eckler coming back to the field for the Chargers. Moving on to another interesting backfield, at least especially over the last hour, as we found out on Monday, A.J. Dillon has tested positive for COVID-19. And then we found out Jamal Williams is one of the high risk close contacts that we were waiting tests on. Well, now we found out that he indeed is on the COVID-19 list because of his that high risk area. So the Packers go into a Thursday night game this week, and perhaps we'll know more by the time this podcast comes out. But you had Aaron Jones, who was listed as a limited participant if the Packers would have practiced on Monday. But then after that, it's practice squad Dexter Williams and Tyler Irvin, a guy who's basically been returning kicks and running jet sweeps for the Packers. So you look at, again, going up against the Niners this week, obviously if Aaron Jones is active, which I think he will be, you're going to play him. Any other Packers running back worth a flex, knowing that Dillon and Williams played a part while Jones was out and got some fantasy goodness to him? Is there any other guy that you would look at on this Green Bay in this Green Bay backfield, Steven?
Yeah, I think Irvin looks like he has some, it looks like he's got some, some pop, you know, to his game, just a little bit of speed there. I think they said Jones was going to be out. They were pessimistic just before. I saw that during lunch here, that they were going to be, you know, probably pessimistic that he, was going to be out for this week. So it's definitely going to be, I think, one of those two. And again, it's been this crazy year with that. So, yeah, I mean, I think Irvin looks pretty good there. Just not sure, I think, based on the matchup, how much they'll use, you know, some of those guys. And it, you know, depends on game script too. But yeah, it's like, you know, you look at the Jones situation, that's tough. And then all of a sudden you have Williams on some teams and you think you're all set. And then there was that. So it's been really, really interesting.
And as beat up as that Packers backfield is, it's really nothing compared to what the Niners have had happen to him this year with Garoppolo and now Kittle, and Deebo Samuel's been missing time. Brandon Ayuk missed the first part of the season too with his hamstring. It just seems like they cannot get healthy there. And that's not even to mention their backfield with Mostert, Tevin Coleman, and now Jeff Wilson. So this could be a battle of the fourth and fifth string running backs on Thursday night if this game is indeed played on Thursday, Steven. Is there any... Who would you like in this fantasy? Yeah, I mean, outside of Devontae Adams, but like you look at the Niners, I guess Ayuk is a play that you would start this week, even with Nick Mullins. But outside of that, I'm kind of scratching my head for the Niners.
Yeah, I love Ayuk. Man, he looks awesome. I think he's going to be I think that kid's going to be elite. He's had some injuries a little bit. Love him. I think the backfield, man, they got some good running backs. Like, that guy Jeff Wilson, he's even really a good runner. Obviously hurt now for 3 weeks or so, or a month, or Hasty looks really good. I just, just with them, they just don't. They spread the ball around. They're using Kyle Juszczyk on the, 5 yard line, for screens and, just weird stuff. So you can't really, it's like, it's nice for a fill in, but if you get anything more than between 10 and 14 points, I think you're like psyched,
Yeah. Yeah. And you have two, bright young minds, creative offensive minds, head coaching these teams on Thursday. So even with the lack of talent in the backfield or lack of numbers, I think we're going to see a fun game. I'm hoping that game goes off on Thursday. If not, maybe Monday or Tuesday. We'll see. I'm just kind of curious, Stephen, you manage a lot of football guys, teams, couple main events as well. What is your week like when you start placing bids for all these teams? How early do you start? Is it just a total Wednesday thing that you dedicate your time to, or have you already been placing bids?
Yeah, this year has been, wow. I mean, I actually have to like block out time in my calendar. Usually I'll do it late at night. But like you said, I start a day early this year. Usually I wouldn't do that. Sometimes I would do that, in the past, just based on a schedule thing or something. But I honestly have to start sort of looking at it, say, on like a Tuesday night, and I'll spend, a couple of hours or something. So it's been a commitment this year for sure. And I don't want to sound like I'm complaining either, because I love it. I enjoy it. It's just, there's so many unknowns this year that I think, you're going through a process where you have to like just admit to yourself, like, okay, this isn't working out as a result. It's not a result of my ability to decipher all this information, right? It's just, there's just so much, I guess, as I said earlier, there's so many moving parts that, I'll give you a good example. I had to drop, Chase Claypool, the week that, all the crazy like Tennessee and Buffalo stuff was going on.
Right.
And it was on, it was off. And, I had this great team, and Claypool was like, he would be the guy I would drop, and I needed to pick up a defense, because I had Buffalo's defense. And I thought, and I was honestly thinking about just keeping him. And I'm like, well, it's stuff like that you're not really used to, like in some instances, you have a really awesome team and you have to decide, oh, okay, I got to drop this guy. I really don't want to do this, but I really like this situation or whatever. But there were a few instances like that. Luckily I didn't do it in many, but where I remember dropping Claypool and I was like, I would never do that in a normal year,
Yeah. Yeah. I had a good week in week 8 for my teams. And then I was looking at, my benches this week. And I had DJ Dallas on the bench in just about every league. And I'm like, looking at this, 7 leagues I owned him in. I didn't start him in a single one. It was a later game, yeah. And I didn't know what was going on with Carson and Hyde and Homer and what have you. But let me ask you about him going forward now, because we still don't know about Carson and Hyde and Homer. And, he showed out, 20-some points in week 8. Is this a guy that you still got to keep around and potentially start in week 9 if, just in case that these guys aren't ready to go again?
Yeah. DJ Dallas, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would, I think he looks pretty good. I mean, and just, in that offense, I think it's conducive to, just to that position. Right. I mean, even though they're sort of airing it out obviously this year, but yeah, I mean, I think any running back there, I had Hyde a lot, just, even separately, just, and then I saw, okay, Carson's out, and then, okay, at least I got Hyde, and then Hyde's hurt, it's like, right. Like you said, I had to sit by, I had to sit by the computer at 3 o'clock this week, which I do that sometimes, but like I had to make a concerted effort to do that. Right. And,
right.
I lucked out just because I had so many injuries and buys on teams that I had Dallas in. And I remember looking and thinking, wow, this guy got 20 points.
Yeah, I know. So crazy. I was ticked off that my backfield was on those teams was as healthy as it was, because DJ Dallas would have been a much better start than a lot of the stones I put in there, which was really unfortunate. New England Patriots receivers, speaking of stones, Jakobi Meyers had 10 targets this week. He turned it into 6 catches for 58 yards, Steven. I'm just kind of curious, you know, he's available in a lot of FFPC waiver wires. How significant, how deep should we be going in to the old waiver wire budget to grab Meyers on a team that N'Keal Harry's still dealing with concussion? Julian Edelman just had knee surgery. Meyers might be Cam Newton's main guy for the next few weeks.
Yeah. He's, I think Harry's just, I think he's going to be a bust, really. It's not, I just don't think there's that much there. He's got no speed. You look at guys like Corey Davis. He's doing well this year, so you never really know. But, I think Meyers looks good. I mean, I don't think he jumps off the page at you, but I think when we talked last, three or four months ago or whatever it was, 6 months ago, I was talking about Newton, how much I don't think anything of Newton. Some people were getting him in drafts and they were excited. I said, I said, this could be a 35 round draft. I still wouldn't take him. I just worry about Newton. Sometimes he's throwing like ducks and balls in the air. I think Meyers, could be a good stopgap,
What was it about Newton and the pre-draft, like during drafting season, Steven, that you didn't like? Did you just assume the injuries, basically made him washed at this point and that he just was not going to be a good fantasy option at quarterback anymore?
Yeah, I just think he's washed up. I'm surprised. I think after the second bad week he had here, I was telling people, he's going to get cut. I honestly just think he's done, because I think once you take away his legs, I mean, he had some years there where everyone was like, oh, he's elite. And, he'd throw for 3,300 yards, but he'd, run a ton, but he'd get 10 touchdowns or something. But, all of a sudden, you take away 7 of those touchdowns and really, throwing the football over time as you age, that just erodes, right? So he was bad with that to begin with. And, I'm extreme, on him. So, kind of take it with a grain of salt, but, just nothing. I picked him up in a couple of leagues for like $10 where he was available, and I was shocked I even got him. And then I've dropped him since. I didn't want nothing to do with
him. Yeah, right. I know how those go. Yeah. I definitely know how those go. Final question for you, Steven. I'd certainly appreciate you making some time, this week for the high stakes lowdown. I know you probably haven't gone too deep into week 9 yet, as far as, busts and sleepers. But who's a guy that you like this week that probably won't be started in a lot of spots among high-stakes players? And then a guy that's probably going to be started in most places or maybe even everywhere that you think is going to disappoint?
Yeah. I'd say, somebody with the tight end position being a little thinner this week, I could see Tanyan, like a tight end, having a pretty good game just because – they're going to be looking to throw the ball more, obviously, I think, with all those running backs out, I think he's, something that stuck out to me a little bit. I don't know if it was just because it was more just like process of elimination of what I had and I haven't looked a ton. I know there's a ton of buys for wide receivers this week. So, I think, somebody like Damian Harris was one.
Okay. Yeah.
One that stuck up. Yep.
Yeah. And he looked awesome. What about him? We'll part on this. Going forward for the remainder of the season, do we finally know that we can trust a New England running back? Because for the first time in years, we haven't been able to trust James White in this offense, but Damian Harris looked really good. Is he a guy that, we should be able to trust as a top 20, top 25 guy the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I love him. He looks awesome. So, yeah. Yeah, and I'm not usually a Patriots guy, as you know. So, especially from a fantasy perspective. He looks good. He looks good. I think if they were a good team this year, he'd be kind of high up there, I think, finishing out. And again, it's just a matter, can he stay healthy? And sometimes that coaching staff, I mean, he could be running great and they'll put in like Rex Burkhead or something. It's just crazy, completely nuts.
Yeah.
So,
but
you're right.
6 yards a carry, you know, running, you know, kind of with just a lot of confidence, you know, like a very hard runner, like a vicious runner. So he looks good.
Yeah, he does look good. And this podcast was definitely good. Talking with Steven Rannigan, a former two-time six-figure fantasy football national contest winner. So good to talk to you. Maybe this is the year for the FFPC main event for the Football Guys Players Championship.
Right? I don't know. Yep. No, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate all your kind words. And, you know, as I've said before, I, you know, just one quick parting note, you know, in doing the changes, you know, I've said this before, your site, just for that drop down and being able to kind of, you know, maneuver differently through different teams and such, it just saves a lot of time. It's very efficient. So, you know, you guys have been awesome. So you guys have a great product. I really mean that.
Well, thank you so much. And you are a great player. And I really mean that. Steven, it was great talking to you. Good luck in week 9. Enjoy the games and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.